The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Yeah, welcome in, pro wrestling fans. You are listening to the weekend edition of Busted Open here on a Saturday. I'm Ryan McKinnell, and joining me, as always, on a Saturday, well, not always, but returning this Saturday, I think he was here last week. But my regular co-host on a Saturday, the one and only World's Strongest Man, Mark, and I'm very excited to have Mark Henry on this Saturday edition because we are starting this podcast edition of Busted Open Radio talking all about the World's Strongest Man debut, or at least in terms of Dynamite, last night on Friday night. We dive into that, what it was like backstage and all of his feelings surrounding being really in the locker room for the first time as an AEW superstar. So we get into that, and of course it wouldn't be a Saturday weekend edition of Busted Open if we didn't give you the weekly winner for the best show that was in the week of professional wrestling. So all you got to do, sit back, relax, click play, let's get it going. Busted Open on a Saturday. First of all, I noticed a nice little play on history. Salmon shirt, not a salmon jacket.
Yeah,
I like that.
Look at you. I was wondering how many people were going to say something about it. Because salmon looks good on me, man. I'm going to start having to wear more colors that pop. I wear a lot of black and brown, you know, because it's slimming. You know, I'm trying to get by. You know, so, yeah,
I fully understand. Slenderizing.
Yeah. But now, you know, you see me, I'm wearing white. I'm wearing, you know, colors. Like, I'm feeling myself a little bit. I look in the mirror, and I'm starting to get where I want to be.
Hot boy summer, Mark Henry.
Hot boy summer. Listen, man, thick boy summer is in effect.
No. Thick boy is when you were wearing all the black. I mean, yes, it's always thick boy summer, but we're really getting you into the hot pinks, the hot colors, the salmons, you know, where it's a whole new look.
I appreciate you noticing that, man. Like,
hey,
it's
the little things, man. That's the stuff I pick up. That's the stuff
we were
like
just
to pick
talking
up
about
on.
That. We were just talking about, man, like, you over there at AEW, you're feeling good, you're doing well, and you're feeling accomplished. It's the little bitty things. It's the, hey, man, good job. Hey, can you go and do this? Because I really feel like you can touch this guy, that guy. Man, like, I had a conversation with Adam Page. Adam Page is a quiet guy. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, he, on TV, he comes across as, you know, normal.
He's very quiet.
He is very quiet.
Yeah.
And I told him that. I said, hey, man, I see you're a quiet dude, but you know that I'm going to screw with you every minute of every day, because I want to get a good relationship with you. And he was like, oh, man, thanks, man. Like, that's cool. And I was like, no, I'm a fan. And he was like, man, don't talk like that. Like, you're Mark Henry. I was like, brother, no, I want to build people up. I want to build them up. One, I want them to have a relationship with me, and I want to have a relationship with them. But I can work better with you if you know me. And if we don't talk, then we won't know who each other is.
I can literally speak from experience on this subject. So let's rewind. I was actually talking to my wife the other day about this. Let's rewind, like, and we are going to get into the show, Nation, 877-344-4893. You know the deal. But let's rewind I want to say like 3 years to one of the first shows that we, no, the first show that we did. And we were just talking about my career and things that were happening and, you know, how you get to one place or another. And I was like, I don't remember like the date or what happened on that first show. But what I do remember is being scared as shit that I was going to have to spend the next 3 hours on the air with someone that I had never done a show with before. In this case, the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, someone that I had, you know, admired and you know, looked up to for how 20 plus years or whatever, right? Within the first, I don't know, 30 seconds of that show, I knew I had nothing to worry about. It felt like every other show I had been. But part of it was exactly what you're saying, the ribbing, getting to just want to make people feel, you know, to have a relationship. You're incredibly, I mean, obviously experienced is a word I guess you would use there, but you just can't teach that to someone, you know what I mean? And I think when Tony Khan brought you over and some of the things that you're talking about here with the backstage stuff, they really don't know what they're in for. I mean, I'm sure they've gotten wind of it on some level. And I've never shared a locker room, but I have worked with you professionally, had shared some of those moments. So I have a feeling I certainly know what Adam Page is going through as he sits there talking to you. I'm like, don't say that, man, Mark Henry. Mark, you told me when we were in Austin, we were driving somewhere, and you were like, you know, man, you could have been a pro wrestler. And I'm telling you, man, when you say something, that stuck with me for like a day. And I'm like, is there still time? I'm only 37. Well, shit, I could get in the gym. And you know what I'm saying? So like when Adam Page sits there and says to Mark Henry, man, don't say that. You're Mark Henry. I've been through it. So that's pretty cool. Who else did you talk to at the show?
Man, I talked to Sting, and I told him that he inspires me. And I was like, man, I was like, you 62, bro. Like I'm just 50. I'm just turning 50 next week. Like, there's hope for me. And he just laughed and laughed. He said, he's like, come on, man. I was like, no, I was like, bro, like that match was fire.
Oh, it was.
And people appreciated you, and you made, you know, people think that once you turn, you know, 45, like you're done. As Booker T, you're done. Stick a fork in him. He's done. But that's not true no more. If you take care of your body, you limit the tope superseders or whatever you want to call it, and Canadian destroyers and flips out of the ring to the floor.
I wish it was.
You can still do this.
I wish it was the torpedo superseder. That would be a, I don't know. Be a different play on it. But I knew what you meant. I knew what you meant.
Hey. I never did none of that type of shit. So
you never threw a toe-piece supersita?
No.
Now that would be a sight to see.
I might have had a taco with chicken and pineapple or something, but I had never had a topetutacita, whatever the fuck they call it. Like, there's a lot of moves that are going to fly by me, and I'm not a moves guy. I sat last night with Wardlow. Like, the people come to me because that was the announcement. Guys, mm-hmm. Mark is a wealth of knowledge. Like, it's not just wrestling. Like, if you need some life lessons, you need, what do you need? That's why he's here. That's why he's here.
And he's easy to talk to.
All y'all. And I'm easy to talk to. I'm not judgmental. I'm not gonna, man. I'm the most unjudgmental guy. I'm very open about a lot of things, man. I sat and talked to Sonny Kiss, about I'm going to be doing some live events and things where we're community involvement, and right now it's Pride Month, and I need all. I was like, man, I don't know who the gay community is here at AEW. I know who it is at WWE, but I don't know. Like, you're going to have to help me. And he, man, whatever you need. Like, we have this person and that person. And, you know, like, I'm like, okay, well, let me know, man. Like, tell them that I want to talk to them. Because Austin is coming up. Miami is coming up. Live events. And I got to get into the media. We got to get on the 6 o'clock, the morning news. We got to do radio spots. We got to do all of this stuff, and that falls under my umbrella. So help me. I need y'all's help. And, bro, people like, man, whatever you want me to do, Mark, like, I was like, that's the culture over there. Like, let's help each other figure it out. And I'm just, man, this is the thing that I always wanted to do. I wanted the company to say, hey, Mark Henry has say so. That's all I ever wanted. Is a little say so.
Anyone ever wants.
And to be validated for what I'm doing. Yeah. To say, listen, this is going to help everybody.
Or in certain instances, when you know you're right, and I know obviously a couple of these things behind the scenes, I don't need to bring up specific instances, but conversations we've all had over the last few years. And I'll just vaguely say, instances where the WWE was way off the mark. And I mean, I don't even know. It's just a couple of decisions to bring back people. I'll just say that. Or to highlight someone at, say, a WrestleMania. And you laid down a laundry list of X, Y, and Z, A, B, and C, why this won't work. And this is going to bite you in the ass. And it just felt like a lot of that stuff, at least to me, Mark. And granted, I'm on the outside looking in. Fell on deaf ears. And that, I think, it's understandable. And it's not just understandable for me as a friend of yours and as your co-host, but I think it's understandable to the larger wrestling fan base, to where it doesn't even matter if you're a pro wrestler. It doesn't even matter if you're a Raider. And take away what we do for a job, right? Just apply your own job. And you're constantly, I mean, look at it right now, right? Here in the country. There's a work shortage now. I understand a lot of that has to do with a lot of different subjects and stimulus packages and all that. I'm not trying to get into it. What I am trying to get into is the value that people are now seeing that they had prior. Maybe they had a year to think about it. Maybe they reinvested in themselves. Maybe they created a new skill, right? But they found out, or whatever the case may be, they found their value. I'm not saying this applies to you, Mark. I'm just saying, you go through it enough, you feel like your opinions aren't validated. You see other people get things that you think you should have or know that you should have in certain cases, right? But that validation, that word right there, right, is so key. Feeling that, I don't know, feeling that you're wanted, feeling that you're, I don't know. You get what I'm saying, though?
Yeah, and there's a lot of times where people above you are people that have positions of power see that you're a shining light and that you could go in and do what they couldn't, and they can't accept you. They don't want you in because it's gonna steal their thunder. They're gonna have to share the spotlight with another person, and that person is gonna get more respect and more love from the talent and the powers that be. You know who the cool person at work is. Man, I'm going to go hang out with Jimmy, man. Jimmy is cold-blooded, man. He's so funny. Like, he's had experiences in life, and he's not going to hang over my head, I did it, you didn't. Mm-hmm. And that exists in the workplace. I know a bunch of people that hate their bosses. They hate the people that's above them in certain situations. And some of those people, they see, oh, shit, man, I better not let this dude get two or three steps in a row. His momentum might just take over mine and I get demoted or fired or something. They're going to elevate this guy. It happens every day in every workforce. I'm not talking about wrestling. I'm talking about life. And that, my friend, is the sum of it. I felt like I just was going to be held back unless it came from the top. Mark is going to be doing this from now on. It was never going to happen. And I have to look out for me, you know, because I'm responsible for three other people, my wife and my two kids, Jacob and Joe, and not just them, not just my immediate family, but man, I got hundreds of family members that their kids need cousin, uncle, friend of the family, Mark, to be successful so they can point out to their kid, look, your cousin Mark did it. He made it. There's a lot hanging on my head. And I don't like failure. I don't like pity parties. Like, if somebody is in a bad place, I'm going to give you advice to help get you out of that hole that you're in. I'm not going to financially bankroll you to get you out of your troubles. That's putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. Mm-hmm. I want to help you mentally achieve greatness. I'm not Tony Robbins, but I'm right there. I had some success too, Tony.
Hey, and not just to your family, and not just to your immediate direct and the larger whole, because there are a lot of various Henrys out there, as I can see.
He said large hole.
Stop it. But your fans, man, your fans. So I don't know, like an obligation. I don't think you have like an obligation to your fans necessarily, but maybe an obligation to yourself, whatever. You said it last night. I got a lot more left in the tank, right? I'm not saying you're going to have another match. I mean, you said you wanted to have
another
match.
I'm going to have another match.
All right. Well, okay. All right. So there you go. You're going to have another match. It's going to be an AEW, right? But the obligation to your fans, and if WWE wasn't going to give you that, when I'm looking at you, I mean, people have seen the pictures, but I mean, like, I've been with you. Like, your weight loss is significant. You know what I'm saying? Like, you look good. You look healthy. You know what I mean? You look like a version of the world's strongest man that I've never seen before, and I've been watching you since 1996. You know what I mean? So, like I said, obligation to the fan, obligation to your family, all that. But again, an obligation to your fans. If the WWE was not interested in giving you that one last match or whatever, again, I don't know any of this stuff. Hey, we haven't even talked since this is the first time I've seen you since the announcement was made last Sunday. So I legit have nothing to go off. I'm just saying. So
you told me this, that there were people that you knew was like, hey, man, why you didn't tell us?
Oh, my God.
And tell your friends why you didn't tell them. Tell them.
It wasn't just my friend. It wasn't even just my friends, Mark. It was the entirety of the interwebs. And the reason I didn't tell you is because obviously I didn't know. This is pro wrestling. Now, there is a concern that, you know, I was around in early May and it was at your house and we were together for how many days and you were completely mum on that subject, but I never asked you. But it just, this is pro wrestling. We talked about it earlier in the week or last Saturday. You know, when you're in the midst of that, obviously we did the show. Secrecy is everything. That pop that you got, that moment, right? You hit it when you said you were going to do media. You're like, yeah, I'm just going to do media, do the post-fight scrums. I mean, you masked that like an actual, I mean, like you were in gimmick, as you kind of were, you know what I mean? But that's the beauty of pro wrestling and the intersection of Busted Open and everything that we do here on this show. No, Mark, I had no idea, but that does lead me to a question.
Ryan, you know how I would have ruined it if I would have came on here and been like, well, you never know.
Yeah, I mean, would have totally ruined it.
I'm sure they might have an opening over there. And then the interweb would start the speculation. Yep. And then everybody's nerves would be open for, well, they might have Mark Henry come out tonight. And
yep.
I am a master at keeping my damn mouth shut. I don't want everybody to know. I want to give people that moment that they got.
And I wanted it.
Oh, my God.
Do you know how pissed I would have been if you would have told me? Like, for real. Like, seriously.
It would have ruined it for you.
It would have killed that moment. Mark, I was in the kitchen, and this is no joke, reheating some barbecue from one of our mutual friends that went over and raided his fridge after a party on Saturday, Andreas Hale, brought the barbecue back to the house. I'm reheating it. And Shivani's on the screen, right? I'm getting ready for the main events. And, I mean, I'm obviously paying attention. But then the world's like before he can get strongest out, I'm literally looking. I'm like, no fucking way. No fucking way. No fucking way. I just keep repeating that over and over and over again. Bro, I got popped. I like legitimately surprised for the first time in a very long time. Now, full disclosure, had so much to do with the fact that, obviously, it's my co-host on Saturdays and one of my friends, Mark Henry. One of the reasons why I was so surprised, but then the other reason is I'm a pro wrestling fan.
Hey, everybody, this is Fran Freshella, host of the podcast World of Basketball. The game of basketball has truly become a global game.
Markovic tries it in to make it. Somehow it goes in.
Each week, I talk with the players, coaches, and executives who have led the way in growing the game of basketball around the world.
Real Madrid have stolen victory from the jaws of defeat.
Episodes are available every Thursday on the SiriusXM app, Pandora, and Apple Podcasts.
NXT had a good show. Impact had the Iron Man match between Josh Alexander and TJP, which was a kick-ass match. Which is a lot of good pro wrestling, as there always is throughout the week, Mark. But it's weekly winter time. What say you?
You know what, man? Monday was Monday. It had a lot of I really thought that I was going to get more out of Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin, like.
Yeah.
You know, it seemed like it was a cop-out. You know, I mean, come on, give me something, man. Give me something.
I agree.
The whole stuff with Lily, like, I feel like they need to pivot. But the best part of that show was Drew McIntyre and Kofi Kingston, man.
Yeah.
Like, both of those dudes are just so damn good. I mean, you should have gave them an hour. That would have fixed the show if you just let them two dudes go for like an hour. I mean, I want to see more Matt Riddle and Randy Orton. Like, it's compelling.
Bro,
it's entertaining.
Yes.
Both dudes' work is tremendous. Like, come 100%. On, man. I mean, I like Reginald and Shayna Baszler match. I thought they did a good job. You know, I mean, it was fun. It wasn't like it was kind of disjointed in the sense that I would have liked to seen Shayna Baszler get mad that Nia was celebrating with Reginald. What are you doing? Why are you celebrating with him?
Right.
Like, I just lost. We're partners. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, somebody, like, you know, fill the holes. Like, don't let there be lapses in judgment. It's like leaving a hole in a movie, like that time that they had the God, what's the name of the movie now? Now I'm seeing, this is what happens you have senior moments. But they had a Starbucks cup on the table in Game of Thrones. Remember that?
Yeah, absolutely, and they were getting dragged on social media because of it.
Yeah, like who was in quality control watching the set and making sure that somebody's damn Starbucks cup?
Hey, I was talking about functioning crackheads earlier. There you go. A functioning crackhead, albeit, you know, they have their slip-ups. The Starbucks cup was reflective of that. That's where I'm going with that. That was your functioning crackhead.
Well, there you go. There you go. I get it. But NXT, listen, man, anytime you got Adam Cole and you got Johnny Gargano and all of the guys that we're accustomed to seeing together against each other, and you got a good show. I love seeing Thick Boy come in and just put a damn squisher on Escobar in the Phantasma and MSK match. I thought that was a good show. Like, it was a lot of action. NXT, I think, is the most balanced show in the world overall. Every week, you know what you're going to get. There's so many players. There's so many people that you want to see that you don't get to see them in a match all the time. I want to see Cameron Grimes every week. Can't, you know, you don't get him. Leon Ruff got my attention about 6 months, three months ago. Thick Boy, you know, I'm so happy that he's the champ, man. Like, that
of
he
course.
Got, he is getting his shine. Like, you look at the Hit Squad, like, they are turning heads and doing their thing. Karrion Kross is carrying the mantle of elite superstar on that show. Like, Finn Balor is Finn Balor. He is the utility player of the year for NXT. He's done everything from main event to start angles, cut promos, like be the face of a brand for a long part of the year until he got hurt and hurt his jaw and then came back from the injury and just resumed like nothing ever happened. So NXT,
yep.
That being said, is like my shining show of the every week. You know what you're going to get. But this pay-per-view, AEW, and I'm not saying that my part in it and joining AEW and showing up was the end-all, be-all, because there were so many great matches. Even the buy-in match, Serena Deeb and Rio were the buy-in match, the dark match, the opening match on the pay-per-view. They damn killed it. I was like, if this is the standard,
it was so good.
Then this show, people better elevate their damn game because they set it on fire. They're the ones that took the match and threw it on the fire. And if I'm not going to even go through the whole show. I'm not going through every match. I'm gonna stop right here. And this is not Mark Henry being an AEW shill, as Dave LaGreca would say. This is the best show that I saw this week, and my weekly winner is AEW because of every match was on fire. The stadium stampede was hilarious and entertaining at the same time. We got to see Urban Meyer. We got to see Charlie Strong, like the head coach and the assistant head coach, like get involved. And Mr. Khan, a cut Chris Jericho hit Sammy Guevara. MJF with the cutout of Tony Khan's dad. I just thought that was like the funniest thing in the world. Like, I mean, it was a good pay-per-view, man. It was really good.
Now, am I talking to Tommy Dreamer or Mark Henry? Because when I do shows with Tommy Dreamer, he always gives the pay-per-views the weekly winner. Mark, we don't give pay-per-views the weekly winner. That's
why?
Like our rule on weekly winner. Because it does a disservice to all the...
I never got the memo.
It is a rule.
Andre?
It's a rule.
It is a rule. Yes, sir, it is a rule.
It is a rule.
Can't give
so
it
I gotta give, and I gotta give SmackDown... The I didn't even get the SmackDown. I just cut it off because I was going too long.
I wanted to let you. Yeah, no. I wanted to let you essentially give your take on what was. Listen, if we were counting pay per views, double or nothing all day. You know what I'm saying? But we've always felt like pay per views are pay per views or standalone. If we were doing pay per views for weekly winner, they'd win every week because they're usually the best shows. You know, match heavy and all that good stuff. So I just wanted to hear your thoughts on double or nothing. Then I was going to throw a little heat at you and then get to your actual weekly winner.
Okay. Well, I mean, last night, you know, I was at AEW, so I had to watch the replays and clips of SmackDown. But from what I saw, like, I was very entertained by what I saw on SmackDown last night. You know, Rey Mysterio and the Usos, you know, you can...
Twice is shit.
You could do it three times if you do it right. You know, maybe make one match a singles match. They could have done anything. I was all in for it. But I enjoyed the fact that, you know, like, Commander Aziz is one of those guys that you're curious about. And I want to see him with Kevin Owens right now more than I want to see Apollo Crews, because he's interrupted. And I feel like Kevin needs some get back. Kevin needs to kick his ass, man. He's ruined the matches that Apollo Crews and Kevin have had. And every time Kevin was beating him. So like it's the guy that breaks up the fight and holds your hands down so the other guy can hit you. That's what I feel like is going on. And I want to see Kevin get his comeuppance. But yeah, SmackDown was good last night, man. The quality of the show was good. When it comes to AEW, like we always put an emphasis on returns or surprises. Like we got Andrade last night.
Yeah.
You know, I mean this is a hard week for me because I put so much emphasis on the pay-per-view. But pay-per-views don't count.
He's sad.
I'm sad. Last night AEW was awesome. It's real hard for me to you know, be a shield, but I have an emotional tie to Rey Mysterio and Dominic. And Roman, anytime that you have something that good and then you have such an elite force like Roman Reigns come in and ruin it and just be like, he put Dominic in the choke. And the emotion in his face and in Ray's face and like all of that was just tremendous. I'm gonna have to give my weekly winner to SmackDown.
All
even
right.
though
weekly winner
the pay per view was better than anything that I've seen in the last few weeks.
But that was one of the best pay per views that AEW has ever done.
I haven't
really gotten to chat about it because you swerved me last week when you were talking about your media duties, and then I'm sitting there making some leftover barbecue, and then you pop out on the screen, and then the matches, and Double or Nothing, and the fans at Double or Nothing was just it was
so
all
crazy.
Awesome. Double or Nothing, Double or Nothing was top pay per view, but it is weekly winner, and man, the this
what
one
say
was tough.
You? I want to hear your.
This one was tough. Well, first of all, it's tough because I love RKO, RK-Bro, excuse me, so much on Monday. Like, I mean, I literally love RK-Bro. Now, that's not enough to win a weekly winner, obviously. But I thought, you know, remember when the ratings came out earlier in the week and we all jumped on it and we were like, Jesus, what is this company doing? You need it, whatever. Well, it turns out the ratings were misreported, at least in that final hour, so it wasn't as bad as people thought. And I thought it odd because you had the main event with that number one contender match with McIntyre and Kofi, and it just didn't make sense. Like, the show wasn't that bad. It is slowly getting a little bit better as the weeks go by. NXT was on fire. Loved NXT. Loved the MSK main event and Kushida. You know, anytime I get to see him on television, I'm happy. So, and obviously the way the show kicked off with that number one contenders match, just a really good pro wrestling show. It's not going to get my weekly winner. It comes down to Friday night, and I'm sitting here thinking about it back and forth, and I still don't know really which was the better show. I honest to God don't. Like, if I don't even know what that means. Like, what does weekly winner mean? Like, it's so hard picking and giving an opinion because at the end of the day, you're just talking about your enjoyment. What show did you enjoy
more? But that's
more?
That's why it's your weekly winner.
I know. So you know what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to go main event. That's what I'm going to have to do. Main event of AEW, if for as good as it was, the bull rope match between Camarado and Dustin Rhodes.
Hell of a match, though.
Hell of a match. But I felt like it just lacked a little bit of buildup, just a little bit, and That's it. Like, literally, that's it. It was a great match. So, again, completely nitpicking, I go to Friday Night SmackDown, and it is the one thing that is going to get this for the weekly winner because we're talking about enjoyment. I am enjoying nothing, and I think you guys know this, listeners, nothing more in the entire pro wrestling world week to week than Roman Reigns. And he carried that show for all 2 hours, even if he wasn't on the television. His menacing demeanor, the promos that he did cut, the backstage segment about go get him, go get him, go make this happen. Go do it. It's just the shadow of Reigns looms large, and now we're getting. We knew we were wondering when the Usos were gonna reunite, and how this was gonna play into the story of Roman Reigns, and now we're getting a little bit clearer of a picture. And I gotta be honest, it's even better than I had hoped for. It's just I can't not give it to him. I can't not. Roman Reigns is on a burner. SmackDown was good, the rest of it, but for me, it was a Roman Reigns centric show. Ain't sick of it yet, and that opening match specifically. Between the Usos and Dominic and Rey, freaking fantastic. I want to say this, and I know it's the internet community, but I saw some higher-ups, some people, respectable people too, kind of questioning Dominic Mysterio. Is it too quick? Is it too soon? Should he be this? Should he get away from his father's shadow? No. And the work Dominic is doing, and I think it was highlighted again perfectly last night, is very, very, very good for a man his age. And, just to see Ray and his son mix it up with the Usos like that, we've been waiting for the Usos to return. The fact that their first match was back against the Mysterios, I don't think that was a coincidence. It was just badass. It was just a badass show. So was AEW, two badass shows that I enjoyed from front to back. And like I said, in the slimmest of margins, SmackDown, absolutely getting my weekly winner. Good-ass week, though, once again for professional wrestling,
yeah.
Mark.
Yeah, all of us as fans, we won. We won, guys.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.